every truth claim in our world stands on something. I mean, behind every belief, every opinion, every worldview, there is an authority. Right? There's like a final voice that settles what is true. And no one escapes it, whether it's a person, a system, a set of writings, maybe simply just a personal reasoning. Everyone is standing on something they trust to define reality. And so therefore, the question I want us to wrestle with this morning is this: what is the ultimate authority for what you believe? Not what you say that it is, but what actually governs your thinking, your decisions, your priorities. Perhaps maybe ask it this way: what voice are you allowing to define you and your reality? Because you have an authority. You do have an ultimate authority. Everyone does. And the thing we all need to figure out is whether that authority is trustworthy. Well, I think the thing we all need to test is whether our authority is rooted in the truth. Now, that being said, here's where I see our culture drifting. More and more people are not seeking or discovering truth. Rather, they're designing it. They're designing it. It's like my little friend here. What it is, it's a Mr. Potato Head faith. Seriously, is what it is. And so we want to design, custom design our thing. So, you know, yeah, I certainly want a little Christianity in the mix because, you know, I like Jesus. He's inspiring. I like what he brings to the table. But I also would like to add maybe a little Eastern mysticism into it because, you know what, I really like experiences. So let's add a little bit of that to the mix. And hey, why not give me a dash of sexism? Because, you know, really, gender is a spectrum. And the Bible seems misogynistic at times. And then maybe let's sprinkle a little bit of postmodernism into it because truth is flexible. I mean, after all, morality is mine to define. And just like that, they've designed and constructed a customized faith. But let's call it for what it is. You see, it isn't submission to absolute truth. What it is it's self-authority. It's not discovering reality, it's reshaping it into your image, right? It's taking the pieces that you like and throwing away the ones you don't and assembling a version of truth that in all honesty never challenges you, it never confronts you, and it doesn't demand a thing from you. But here's the problem. Truth doesn't work that way. Right? And you don't get to, you know, design your own reality. You don't get to piece together, you know, ultimate truth based on your preference. You see, a self-made authority is no authority at all. It's really just you talking to yourself, convincing yourself that you're right. And that kind of belief system may feel comfortable, but I'm telling you, it stands in stark contrast to the supremacy of God and His Word. And so, friends, if it's not a self-made designer brand of authority that we're to embrace, what is the ultimate source for us Christians? Now, you might instinctively answer the Bible. And that's a good answer. But it's really not the best answer. Because it immediately raises the question, which is, well, why do you believe the Bible? And so therefore, at the end of the day, our ultimate authority is not a book, rather it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. You see, we believe the Bible, friends, because He did, right? He quoted from it, He taught it, He affirmed it as nothing less than the very words of a living God. And He did not treat it as some sort of watered-down self-help guide to life. Rather, He treated it as absolute authority and submitted to its authority. So when you follow the line all the way back, you see, your ultimate authority isn't, you know, floating in some isolation, like in some book or whatever, but rather it's in Jesus Christ Himself. And the Bible carries authority because He does. And that's exactly the point he presses in the Sermon on the Mount. He is, in essence, saying, if you are my disciple, you don't get to form, right, your view of Scripture. You must believe about the Bible exactly what I believe about it, because I am your authority. You see, that's the dividing line. Not whether you like the Bible, it's not whether you respect the Bible, but whether you'll submit to it because you've already decided to submit to Him. And that's His message. I mean, this is how He puts it. Matthew 5, verse 17, He says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but rather to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But, he says, whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you'll certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, we introduced this section in the main body of Jesus' sermon last Sunday. And we established that true citizenship, you know, as true citizens of Jesus' spiritual kingdom, will always maintain a right relationship with Scripture. And in doing so, we must understand and adopt Jesus' relationship to the Scripture. In other words, we must respect its stature, and we must embrace its precepts with the same intensity that Jesus did. And this is what He's calling us for, right? And this is important to understand because, you know, our standing within the kingdom of heaven depends on it. Remember, we looked at this verse last Sunday, Matthew 5, 19. "Therefore, if anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, for you graduates, I'm not certain of your future plans and ambitions, but I do hope that aspiring to greatness in God's kingdom is a high priority on your list. In fact, it should be at the top of the list. Because I tell you, it gives you a sense of purpose and direction. It positions you for greater success in your future studies, your career, and if God wills, your marriage. And I will assure you that aspiring to greatness in God's kingdom will never steer you wrong. Can we agree on this? You know, as citizens of God's kingdom, you and I must believe about Scripture what Jesus believed about them. And that's where He's going to take us this morning. He's going to provide several unchanging attributes of the Bible that should inspire us to revere it to the same level He did. Okay, that's where He's going to go today. So let's talk about, and this is where I really want to camp today, I want to talk a lot about the Bible's permanent authority. Notice that He says there in verse 18, "For truly I tell you, unless heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." So it's forever, right? The Scripture and its authority, they're permanent. Right? Notice how He says there, "until heaven and earth disappear." Your version may read, "until heaven and earth pass away." Now, there are a couple of possibilities of what Jesus means in that expression. For starters, He may be referring to the end of the world. You know, the Bible is explicit that this universe, as we know it, it's not permanent, right? But it has an expiration date. And its end will not be pretty. I mean, the Apostle Peter describes it this way in 2 Peter 3:10. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements," in other words, all of those letters, all that stuff on the periodic table, he says, "the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it," he says, "is going to be laid bare." Now, some of you hear that and you think, oh, so Peter's talking about a nuclear holocaust like in the movie Terminator 2. No. What we witness on the silver screen, I'm telling you, pales in comparison to what the end of days will be like. You see, what Peter describes here will be much more devastating, right? And the God who dramatically spoke it into existence will dramatically wipe it from existence. Now, that's to say, both the heavens and the earth, notice that he says that both the heavens and the earth will be utterly annihilated. So Jesus may be saying that, you know, having served its purpose, God's word will endure until the end of the world. And that's possible. You know, that may be what he was saying here. However, I think it's more likely that Jesus is using a proverbial statement that really means never. It's like the polite version of the English expression, until hell freezes over, meaning God's word will never disappear. And I say this because it's not the only time that Jesus says something like this. He helps us understand what he means by using similar and perhaps clearer language over in Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 17, it puts it this way, it's on the screen. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. So you see, in this statement, Jesus contrasts two possibilities. You know, the destruction of the entire universe versus the loss of authority of even the smallest part of God's word. And his point is unmistakable. You see, what seems unthinkable to us, right, the vanishing of the heavens and the earth, is actually more likely than a single detail of Scripture losing force or becoming void. Simply put, God's word is utterly dependable. It's more enduring than the universe itself. So here's what you need to remember. The most stable, unchanging reality on this planet is the Bible you hold in your hand. Let me repeat that. The most stable and unchanging reality on this planet is the Bible that you hold in your hand. It's not some theory. It's not a philosophy, some philosophy that culture and academia are going to try to cram down our throats. No, the ultimate permanent authority is Jesus Christ in this. As for durability, you'll find nothing more lasting and secure. You see, that's what Jesus is communicating. And in doing so, he's only validating what we're told elsewhere in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed in the heavens." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever." So picture this. While Jesus is preaching this sermon, he paused and he looked at everything and everyone around him. And he says, you know, there's coming a day when all of this will cease to exist. But my word never will. But my word never will. I mean, just allow that to sink in. Now, the implications of this, is staggering. For one, God's word must therefore be your authority. This is on the backs of your outlines. God's word must be your authority. Listen, if God has spoken, right, and his word carries permanent, unchanging authority, then it cannot be viewed as optional or as like vague suggestions. Rather, it must become the foundation of your life, what you believe, how you think. Right, the choices you make should all be shaped by what God has said. I mean, remember, he created you and all that is around you. Therefore, his ways are always and forever higher than your ways. And his thoughts are forever and always higher than your thoughts. Right? I mean, he's seen it all. He's been around since the beginning, and he knows what will bless you, and he knows what will curse you. He knows what will spiritually heal you. And he knows what will kill you. And it's all right here. Right? It's all right here in this incredible book. So you've got to ask yourself honestly, is the Bible truly your authority? You know, not what you say here in church or maybe in your journey group, but what shows up in your decisions, right? When you're choosing friends, setting priorities, pursuing relationships, handling pressure, facing temptation. Does the word lead you or something else? Because there's an authority in your life. And it's going to shape your decision. It's going to shape you. Right? And Jesus is saying, it's my word that should be shaping this. Do the scriptures govern how you treat your family when it's hard, when you're frustrated, and when no one else sees? I mean, does it shape your work ethic, whether you give your best or just get by? I mean, does it direct your integrity at school and on the job when cutting corners would be much easier? I mean, does the Word of God control your words and your attitudes and your private life? I think these are the questions that we've got to be asking ourselves. Because if God's Word is truly permanent, then it's not optional advice. Right? It's absolute authority. And it has the right to speak into every detail of your life, to correct you, to command you, and to call you higher. And so the question is not whether God has spoken, because He has. The question is whether you'll listen, whether you'll submit your life to what He says, even when it's difficult, right? Even when it costs you, even when no one else does. So it must be your authority. And the second thing is this: God's Word is therefore always relevant. The logic is straightforward. If Scripture has permanent authority, it will therefore always be relevant. Yet have you noticed how some people treat the Bible as outdated? Have you picked up on this? I mean, even some modern-day progressive-minded preachers. Right? I mean, to them, it's better to tell some personal stories and maybe share self-help anecdotes than preach the full counsel of the Bible. But those things, however meaningful, don't carry lasting authority. Right? They don't have the power to truly change hearts. The ultimate authority belongs to Jesus Christ and to the Scripture alone. And because its authority never changes, its relevance never fades. No matter the time, no matter the culture, no matter the place. I really need you to get this, right? Because its authority never changes, its relevance, friends, never changes. I mean, think about what Jesus says in Matthew 28 when He gives the Great Commission. He said this after His resurrection. He tells His followers this. Here it is. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them by everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now notice what He says here. He tells them to go into all nations. Now this is striking, because it means His message isn't limited to one culture. It's not limited to one place or one moment in history. And then He goes on and He says that they are to make disciples and baptize them, that they are to teach them to obey everything that He has commanded. Now, isn't that interesting? The word of emphasis there is obey. And this means that His words are meant to be taught everywhere and therefore to apply everywhere. And He adds this promise, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That means despite what our modern-day hell-up culture suggests, there will never be a time when His Word and His words are no longer relevant. Society will never progress beyond the relevance of Scripture. I hope you graduates are hearing this. Society will never progress beyond the relevance of God's permanent, authoritative Word. And so the point is clear. You see, what Jesus taught is true for all people in all places and at all times. You see, that's what it means for Scripture to have permanent authority. And so the big idea is this. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you don't get to form your own view of Scripture. Right? Your Lord has already done that for you. And what He believed about God's Word is what He calls you to believe. And if you do believe it, understand why. It's not because of heritage, it's not because of tradition, it's not because of a pastor, but because of the authority of Jesus Christ Himself. There is no authority more worthy of your trust. Right? Not a preacher, not an academic, not an internet influencer, not even the consensus of an entire culture. You see, friends, you must remember that every human authority is limited and flawed. But Jesus is not. Jesus is not. When Jesus affirms the Scripture, He is giving you a foundation you can stake your life on. Right? He has your ultimate, He is your ultimate authority. And that means that He is the very foundation of your life and your faith. So the ultimate question then becomes this: who or what is your authority? And as we kind of wrap things up, let me ask you some questions. Who is actually shaping your life? Who is it that's, you know, shaping your view of it, your worldview? Not in theory, but in practice. Is it experts? Is it a culture? Is it a persuasive professor? Or maybe a self-help voice? Or is it yourself? Are you really willing to stake your life and your eternity on your own Mr. Potato Head version of truth? It's an honest question. Has your view, has this always been right? Right? I mean, has it been, perfectly reliable? See, these are the questions we need to be asking ourselves. And I'm asking you this morning is this. I'm just asking you to stop trusting what cannot hold the weight of your soul. Rather, trust Jesus Christ. Right? The only one who has proven Himself worthy. He said it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." You see, Jesus trusted the Scriptures as the very Word of God. He affirmed the Old Testament and authorized the New. And if you reject what He believed about the Bible, you're claiming greater authority than He is. And friends, that's reckless. That's perilous. Scripture is not one voice among many. It's the only word from outside of this world. And it tells you the truth. You're a sinner. God is your righteous creator. You've rebelled, and that rebellion earns eternal judgment. But it also tells us good news. God sent His Son Jesus, who lived perfectly, died in place of sinners, rose again, and will return. And friends, the only way to be made right with God is to repent, to believe, be baptized, and receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. That's your only hope. And that's not just my voice, friends. That comes from right here. The only voice from outside of this world. So when someone asks you why you trust the Bible, I say simply answer, because Jesus did. And I trust Him. You see, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Now, I want to invite all you graduates back to the stage. I've got something I want to show you, and I've got something I'd like to give you. Can I invite all the seniors up? Let's go ahead and have a seat up here. I've got something I want to share with you. It's going to be hard to get through. There right now. This Bible saved my life. It was given to me by my brother as a gift at my graduation. And it literally has altered the trajectory of my life. You can pass it down. Remember a couple, last week, if you were here, I spoke about when you turn your Bible up on edge, and you can look at it, and can you, by the wear on the pages, tell the difference between the old and the new? You can see my New Testament is literally—it's falling apart. This is the Bible that I carried with me throughout my years of seminary. You go ahead and you just take a look. I mean, it's marked up, but it's a lot of highlights and things like that. My brother left this inscription. He said, "May you get the best use of this Bible. Read it as often as you can, because it contains truth. He writes, live it to the best of your ability because it's the only way to go. And I hope someday that you can be with me at the Cincinnati Bible College. But remember that what is in this Bible is more than any school will ever teach you. He writes, don't be afraid to mark it up. Underline passages of Scripture that you want to remember. Congratulations on graduating. I want you to remember, always be proud to call him a little brother. And it came from my brother Rick. And I'm telling you, that scripture changed the trajectory of my life. I carried that with me throughout my days. I had no plans of ever being a pastor. I was just trying to figure out how to be a fighter pilot. And I firmly had, I'm probably where some of you may be, I firmly had one foot into the world and one foot into the Bible. I was not living the life I should have been living. And my brother just invited me to one semester of Bible college just to get my head on straight before I went into the military and really got messed up. And it was this Bible that taught me so many things about myself. I felt, when I got down to Bible college, I was just chasing a girlfriend and to get my head on straight, right? I get down there and a college professor who I really respected about, I don't know, 6-8 weeks into the semester says, I've been viewing your life and I think you have what it takes to be a pastor. And I remember thinking, man, you have no idea who you're talking to. I thought I had my life so jacked up that there was no way that God could ever use a guy like me. But you know what that Bible taught me? That Bible taught me that you are not defined by your sin. Romans 8 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And friends, let me tell you something. There's so much truth in that Bible. You are not defined by your sin. You're defined by the child of God that you are. Cling to that. Remember that. It's that Bible that taught me that in life, the most important thing you can possibly do is to live for an audience of one. And that one being Jesus Christ. Right? The only one worthy of our allegiance. Don't tether your emotional well-being and your mental health, you know, to some upstart punk kid or some theory that's out there or some internet influencer, right? But lead your life and play your life to an audience of one. And I tell you, if you will do that, you'll succeed. You'll succeed. When God thinks of your name, He thinks nothing but the best. And He has nothing but love for you. And nothing can separate you from that love. Remember that. Because there'll be other voices who'll try to tell you otherwise, okay? But you have a God who loves you. You have a God who created you to love you. And I want nothing but the best for you. And so Terry and I, we decided we'd like to give you a gift. And I hope that this Bible that I'm going to present to you will have the same shaping influence on your life as that one had on mine. Amen? I want to leave you with a bit of a charge, and then we'll let you stop sweating and your face will go back from being red, okay? In turn, I've written this in the leaf of your Bible, by the way. As you step into this next chapter of your life, remember that your greatest success will never be measured by what you achieve, but by who you become in Christ. Let God's Word be your foundation, your guide, and your constant companion. And when your path is uncertain, trust His wisdom. When your road becomes difficult, lean into His strength. And when you succeed, give Him the glory. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, O Lord. So I encourage you, stay faithful, stay humble, and stay rooted in Him. Amen. God bless you guys. You go ahead and be seated. Thank you.